find some time. You're in their grasp. A staircase to climb, breathing in gasps. The wind only knows what happened to me. I know your rose trapped beneath the sea. This I know, I'll never let you down. This I know, I'll never let you down. Bruises on all the trees, echoing sound. If you're down on your knees for the final count.
Now, if you're wondering if I'm hard-hearted because I'm not up here crying right now, it's not that. It's the fact that I've watched that video numerous times and I've bawled like a baby every time I've watched it. So I purposely, to be able to communicate, did not watch it because my heart gets stirred in deep ways every time I watch that video. And I don't think it's because I just remember my wife with our kids, though it's that. And it's not watching my daughters with my grandchildren right now, though it's definitely that. There's something special in the mother-child relationship. It gives us a taste of heaven. You know, throughout the scripture, God actually uses the mother-child relationship to try to communicate the depths of his heart towards us. The prophet Isaiah says, can a woman forget her nursing child, that she should have no compassion on the son of her womb? The obvious answer to that is no. That's one of the most unnatural things that will ever happen. And yet God says, even if these may forget, I will not forget you. You see, the reason that we're moved by that video is not just our experiences. It's not just sentimentality. Through the sacrificial hearts of our mothers, God is speaking. And he's trying to show us the depths of his heart for us, if we will dare hear. And because we have so many mothers who are so gracious to model this for us, it's more than appropriate that we say thank you today. I'm keenly aware that we are not together. At the end of the service, I'll tell you a little bit more about when we might be. I know we can't lay hands on our mothers as have been our tradition for the entire 22 years I've been here, and every Sunday I've been at a Mother's Day and such. But we can still bless, and we can still say thank you. So I'm going to ask you to do something. I'm going to ask you to do something a little bit extra this Mother's Day weekend. Whenever you're listening to this, it doesn't matter. I want you definitely to contact your mom. Don't forget to do that. Talk to those in your family, your wives, your daughters, whoever might be mothers and such. But I want you to ask the Lord to show you another lady who through her actions have shown you somehow the heart of God. She may be a biological mom. She may be an adoptive mom. She might not have legal children, because I know of some incredible mother hearts that have no legal or biological children. It doesn't matter. If there's a woman right now, I believe the Lord's going to lay a mother on your heart, maybe two, and I want you to note their name. And today, I want you to communicate with that woman and say thank you for her actions demonstrating the heart of God to you. You can call her, you can send a text to her, old school, you can email, direct message, I don't care. Let's just make sure we communicate our appreciation for so many women who demonstrate to us the heart of the Father. And as the Lord is showing you a mom outside of your family, I want us to take a moment and I want us to say thank you to the Father. I want us to pray and say thank you to the Father for the women in our life who have shown us his heart. So if you happen to be in a room with your family, maybe you're in a watch party or something like that, and it's appropriate, why don't some of you just lay hands on the shoulders of the women there? Let's ask for blessing. Let's ask for anointing. And let's say together, Father, thank you. Father, with everything within me, I'd love to be placing my hands on the shoulders of women right now, but I know it's right not to be doing that. But Father, we extend our hearts and we extend our gratitude to you because through your image in these women and through the way they have loved and the way they have sacrificed and the way they have given, we see you and we thank you for that. We thank you for their impact in our lives. Just as Paul told Timothy that his faith first lived in his grandmother, then lived in his mother, and now I'm persuaded lives in you. Many of us have our faith because of our mothers and because of what they did. We thank you for that, Lord. We thank you for the security we have. We thank you for the confidence we have. We thank you for the gifts that have been imparted to us. We thank you, Lord God, for mothers in our lives. And we give you praise and we bless these mothers this Mother's Day weekend. We think it's very appropriate for that. And I pray grace, oh God, on women right now who want to be mothers but who cannot, who've not been able to bear children. I ask for the miracle of open wombs during this season. I ask for the miracle of healing over miscarriages. I ask, Father, in the midst of all the struggles that can also be attached to this weekend, show your presence and draw near to the brokenhearted. Your word says we rejoice with those who rejoice and mourn with those who mourn. We do that this weekend. We love you. We give you praise and thanks in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, I have a confession I want to start with today. I'm a selective listener. And before my wife gets too excited, my family gets robust, before my friends and coworkers say, finally, he's starting to get it, before everybody gets all smug, you're a selective listener too. See, selective listening at some level is a necessity for this life. We live in a world of noise. We have sound stimuli hitting us all the time. For the past 30 years or so, there's been an acoustic ecologist by the name of Gordon Hempton, and he has been compiling a list called the List of the Last Great Quiet Places in North America. See, he defines a quiet place as some place where there is sub-decibel level noise, which virtually means no noise, for 15 minutes during daylight hours. Only 15 minutes. He and his team have discovered only 12 of those places in North America. Now, don't direct message me, don't email me, because I know it's an impossibility for one researcher or a small team of researchers to examine every possible location in North America to discover if this is true or not. I get that. But anecdotally, we all kind of know what he's telling us is true. We get the general concept. Like, we live in a noisy world, a really noisy world, which tells us something. We choose what we hear. The brain God made for us is beyond the capacity of our brain to imagine in what it can do, which is ironic, isn't it? We have been created by God with this ability to choose what we hear, to select what we hear. See, like right now, there are noises all around you. If you started listening, and I just took a risk of losing your attention, there's noises that you've been filtering out. There's something going on over here. There's something going on behind us. You just stop. And all of a sudden, there's noises. And now you're hearing the noise because you've turned off the filter, and I'll get you back here in a minute, whatever. It just tells you we know how to filter. A brain can do an amazing thing. We choose what we hear. So we also know that that which we choose to hear ultimately tells us what we truly believe is important. This past Tuesday, I was in the scripture. I have a plan where I'm regularly reading regular parts of the Bible all the time just to engage. Now, I was reading in Matthew chapter 13, a story where Jesus tells a foundational parable, really what we call the parable of the soils or the parable of the sower. But it wasn't the parable itself that jumped out at me that day. It was the follow-up of the disciples who said, they came and said to him, Master, why do you speak to them in parables? Now, in my opinion, this question wasn't so much seeking information as to make a point. See, what the disciples were saying is, Jesus, we can help you with your communication. The parable you told, it's a sweet story, it's great, and all that kind of stuff, but the point wasn't clear. We don't even understand what you were saying. But before the disciples could help the one who created language use language better, Jesus answered them. And he said to them, to you it has been given to know the secrets of the kingdom of heaven. But to them it has not been given. That is why I speak to them in parables. Because seeing they do not see. And hearing they do not hear, nor do they understand. And then he looked at the 12, and I would challenge anyone who would dare come close to him. And he said, listen, then to what the parable of the sower means. Question: why would Jesus explain the meaning of the parable to the 12 and not to the crowd? Hold on to that. Back in the Old Testament was a prophet named Elijah, a man who heard God like few ever hear God. By God's leading, Elijah ended up in an encounter with the prophets of Baal up on the top of Mount Carmel. It's a great story you can read about on your own in 1 Kings 18. It's a great story, incredible miracle, because at the end of this whole thing, when Elijah is sarcastic, when Elijah taunts and talks smack and trash, he calls down fire from heaven. It consumes the sacrifice, and the prophets of Baal are all put to death. He was used by God in an amazing, mighty way, and he was used mightily because he heard God. It's a great, great encounter. But then the queen of the land, who was not there, a lady by the name of Jezebel, put a bounty on Elijah's head. Jezebel sent a message to Elijah to say, "May the gods deal with me, be it ever so severely. If not by this time tomorrow, I do not take your life like that of one of them." And the next verse contains a strange kind of comfort for me for the day we live in. Then Elijah was afraid and ran for his life. Less than 24 hours after calling fire down from heaven, seeing all the false prophets of the land put to death on Mount Carmel, hundreds of them, Elijah is now running from an individual. And maybe I shouldn't find great comfort in this, but as a man who wants to walk in great faith and great courage and great strength during times of adversity, like times of COVID, like times of health crisis and economic crisis, it comforts me that even the man of God, Elijah, had his ups and downs. Elijah ran, ends up in Beersheba. And the scripture goes on. The Lord said to Elijah, "Go out and stand on the mountain in the presence of the Lord, for the Lord is about to pass by." Then a great and powerful wind tore the mountain apart and shattered the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. After the wind, there was an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake came was a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, notice this, came a gentle whisper. When Elijah heard the whisper, he immediately knew it was God. He pulled his cloak over his face, went out and stood at the mouth of the cave. And then the voice said to him, the voice that spoke to him in a whisper. Isn't it interesting? He who has the greatest ability to make himself heard over all the noise of this world will rarely, if ever, make us hear him. I'll say it another way. God rarely, if ever, shouts. He whispers. I have three grandchildren, the most beautiful and talented grandkids in all the big country. I mean, truth is, it's really the entire world, but if I said the entire world, that would seem proud, right? So just the big country. Right now, my oldest, my granddaughter Esther, has this habit that when she wants something, she asks by whispering. She gets really quiet in that really high-pitched voice. And I love it. It's so sweet, but it's a problem for her Mac, which is me, because her Mac is getting, like, older. And the ears that I have been used a lot. They've been used for shooting guns and things like that. And they're not just working quite like they used to. And so for me to hear her, I literally have to shove everything out. I have to close one ear, get her real close to my ear, and pay attention to absolutely every word she says as if it's the only thing that matters. That's what a whisper does to us. We have to listen to everything. It reveals why Jesus spoke in parables. And it's probably the biggest issue when it comes to understanding what God is saying today. You see, if we don't want to hear all God says, we will rarely hear anything that he says. If we don't want the entire package, we're rarely going to hear anything. And that's a problem for me because I've already confessed that I'm a selective listener. And when it comes to God, that's a big deal. It might not be that big a deal in the world in general. It might be survival. But when it comes to God, it's a big deal. You see, God has this thought that he knows what's best. That he best knows what needs to be said. And when it needs to be said, as if he is King of Kings, Lord of Lords, something like that. I would challenge, I bet I'm not alone in this. I tend to want to hear from God what I want to hear from God about that which I want to hear. See, I tend to hear God selectively, which means I'm probably missing most of what God wants to say. Example, like most of us, right now I want to hear what God is saying about COVID-19. What should we do? What should we do as a church? How are we supposed to respond? What kind of things you're saying? Nothing wrong with that at all, but what if God's saying something else? Am I willing to listen for that? Am I willing to lean in and hear that? What if there are some other matters, some other issues that through this that he wants to address? Am I leaning in to hear those things? See, you get what I'm saying. In the book of Hebrews, we are commanded here, let us therefore strive to enter that rest so that no one may fall by the same sort of disobedience. Now, as I read that, I promise you the one word that stood out is the word rest. This is what all of us want and all of us feel like we lack. It's interesting. We live in a season where we should be resting because we've been saying for a long time, there's a lot of activity and that activity causes me not to rest. But for most of us, a pause button has been pushed on most of the activities. And we don't have all that yet. We do not feel like we rest. We're struggling with it because we're in a crisis. We're in an economic crisis. We're in a health kind of crisis, a crisis like never before. And when you're in a crisis, it's hard to rest. But the good news is God would not command us to enter a rest if that rest were not available. God would not command us to do something which he will not enable. The great news is the God of heaven wants us to live in a place of rest right in the midst of COVID. But you see, what I want to hear from God is how God's going to handle all the circumstances surrounding COVID so I can be at rest. But could it be that God really wants to deal with some things in me that would allow me to be at rest even if the situation of COVID does not change like I want it to? You see, how could that possibly happen? Verse 12, for the word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of soul and spirit, of joints and of marrow, and the discerning of thoughts and intentions of the heart. Now, if you've been around the church world, you have heard Hebrews 4, verse 12. It's a coffee mug, t-shirt kind of verse that we have. It's one of the first verses I memorized. I was picked up on a church bus, a gracious bunch of people, because I was a tough kid. And they kept picking me up. And I memorized this verse. We had sword check every time I would show up. If you brought your Bible, you got a prize. I'm a one on the Enneagram. I'm a striver. I wanted all the prizes. So I took my Bible every week. And I learned in that church the value of Scripture. And I bet if I ask you right now, hey, how many of us believe the Bible is of ultimate value? We'd go, yeah, I believe that. But can we be honest enough to say we also struggle with the Bible? See, I know I'm not supposed to say that. I know we're in church, even though we're not in church together, we're in church. And I know I'm not supposed to be that honest. But can we admit we struggle with the Bible? You see, if at the first of the year I ask you if we value the Bible, we would say absolutely. But if I ask the emotion that we attach to Scripture, when I really think about Scripture, here's the emotion most people have: guilt. I don't read the Bible enough. And the reason most of us say that we don't read the Bible is time. I'm just so busy. But our world has hit the pause button. Most of us aren't busy right now like we were busy. And so the question begs, since our world is a lot slower than it used to be, am I reading my Bible? And I know that's a tough question. Please understand, I can't see you right now. I don't have like some spyware on your phone when you download the Beltway Park app that turns on your camera and I can look at you. Nothing like that. But this ain't my first rodeo. And I know from talking to a lot of people this evening, we're still struggling to read our Bible, though time isn't the issue it once was. I would just ask us to consider something today. Just to consider something. That maybe time never really was the issue when it came to our struggle with the Bible. See, I would just ask us to consider that maybe we struggle with the Bible because when we read our Bible, it actually reads us. Is that not what Hebrews 4 verse 12 says? The Word of God is like a sword, and it divides. It's kind of a crass picture, but you've probably seen enough movies during this day that you understand what I'm saying. That when it divides, when it pierces, when it goes in the human body, all of a sudden parts of the human body that aren't normally seen are now seen. It says it discerns the thoughts and the intentions of the heart. I mean, come on. My thoughts, my motives are things I try to hide from people. I tried to hide them honestly from myself, and I definitely tried to hide them from God. And Scripture itself says that when I seek to hear God through Scripture, it uncovers me. If you were to read Hebrews 4:13, it actually says it makes us naked before God. The common nightmare people talk about is being caught in public in their underwear. Caught in public, buck naked. It's like the image of being exposed. To be honest with you, I don't want to be physically naked before you. And you ought to double my salary because I am honoring that desire. Come on, right? But I also don't want to be naked spiritually before God. See, just like Adam and Eve, the sin I still struggle with causes me to want to cover and to hide from God. And you know what? The things that I am covering are the very things that keep me from rest. Rest that is not circumstantial. Rest that's not about the situation. Rest that has to do with my mind and my spirit aligned with God. Rest that can be increasingly mine in the midst of any circumstances, including these days of COVID. And the way we enter into the rest of God that is not circumstantial, a rest that is constant in our life, that is increasing in our life, is that we lean in close and we desire to hear everything God would say to us. It's like He's whispering. And when He whispers, we lean in and we want to catch every word. And the primary way He whispers is through the Scripture. Now, it's not the only way He speaks. The Scripture, which is His word for all people at all times, tells us there's other ways He speaks. There's other languages, and we're going to unpack those. But make no mistake, we have no business trying to listen in to the other languages of God if we are not first rooted in the language of Scripture. For the Father is not the only one trying to whisper to us. We actually have three voices that are constantly at work. We have our own voice, our own mind, our own thoughts, our own ideas. We have the voice of the enemy, who masquerades himself like an angel of light. And we have the voice of God. And people ask all the time, how do I know if it's me or the devil or God? And the primary way, you know, first and foremost, we'll talk about other ways, but the primary way is Scripture. Having things rooted in the Scripture. So I want to challenge us in this season. This is a season when we want to hear what God is saying. Every one of us, we are weeks into this and we don't know when things are going to end. We don't know what they're going to look like in the days to come. The world is going to be temporarily different, if not permanently different. We don't know what the permanent different could be. My prayer is that the permanent different would be a better different that God somehow orchestrates in His sovereignty. That's what I'm praying into. But we know there's uncertainty in the days to come. And we want to know, God, what are you saying? And where are you going? And where are you leading us? And if that's the case, let's lean in to where we know He's speaking. Here's what I know. He's speaking in the book. Every time we open it, He is speaking. So let's do this. Let's just lean into where He knows He's speaking first and foremost. And let's seek to hear everything that He is saying. Speak, Lord, Samuel prayed, for your servant is listening. How about we just open the book and say, speak, Lord. Your servant is listening. Remember, Hebrews says the word of God is living and active. It's not just words God once said. See, when we become a follower of Jesus, He deposits His Holy Spirit inside of us. And that Spirit makes alive in us the word of God. I love the King James Version. It says again and again that He quickens the word. It's like we read something and it's my word for that day. It was Matthew 13 verse 10 for me last Tuesday. Wondering why the disciples ask why He speaks in parables. And it happens again and again And again, see, this is not a book of things that God once said. It's words that God will take and he will make them alive in us. And what you're going to find as you do this is you're going to be encouraged. You're going to have a revelation of the reality of who God is. I mean, the truth is, I tell people, and I'm misunderstood, but I tell people I don't love the Bible. I love the one who is revealed in the Bible. And I appreciate the Bible, and I appreciate the one who wrote the Bible, who revealed himself in the Bible so I could love him. But I love the Father, and I love the Son, and I love the Holy Spirit, and I'm appreciative of the Bible. But the Bible is not an end. The Bible is a way to God, and we will be encouraged by the revelation of God. But we will also be challenged. We will be changed. We will hear from God things we don't want to hear. But most often, the things I don't want to hear are the things I most need to hear. See, the truth is when he speaks, and he's speaking in the book, when he is whispering to us in the quiet moments of the Bible, when he speaks to us, whatever he speaks is for our good. And I promise you this, it is what is most necessary in that moment. May we have grace to hear. May we have grace to lean in. And you may be thinking right now, David, that sounds great. I don't even have a clue where to start. The Bible has a lot of nuances. It's a book of depth. I'm not going to lie to you. The rabbis of old, I'm not saying they're accurate, but they would say every word of the Bible has 70 meanings and 600 faces. There's just depths to it. The good news is we can't exhaust it. And if you're thinking, I don't even know where to start, I don't know what to do, I've got a challenge. I've got a challenge for us all. What I want you to do in this challenge is simple. I want you to find a readable version of the Bible. And I'm going to recommend the English Standard Version or the New International Version. I can't go over all that. You can get these kind of versions. But I don't want you just to find a readable version. I want you to find a readable version that is also the red letter edition. Okay, I want you to find a readable version that is a red letter edition in that. It doesn't put it up on the screen here, but I want you to get that. Both things, readable version, red letter edition. You say, why a red letter edition? Because the red letter edition is this little gift, that they are the words of Jesus put in red. And I want you to do something real simple. I want you to take that readable version with the red letters, and I want you to read the red. I want you to pray the red. And obey the red. Read the red. Read the words of Jesus. Now, I'm not saying you have to sit down and read all the words of Jesus at one time, because what you're going to find is the red words are in six books of the Bible. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John are just loaded with red words. The book of Acts has a few. And then you have to go all the way to the end of the Bible to the Revelation. And once again, it's loaded with red words. Read some of the red words daily, almost daily. It's not getting legalistic. Let's just read some. And then read a few and then pray into them. Ask the Spirit of God to quicken things to you. Ask him to show you things. Ask him to encourage you. Ask him to challenge you. Ask him to change you, whatever it might need. So the Word of God is useful for encouragement. It's profitable for rebuke. It has all sorts of meaning into our life. Just start right now. Read the red words. Hebrews says that in former days, God spoke in various kind of ways, but in these last days, he has spoken to us in Jesus. It doesn't mean he quit speaking in other ways. It means that the ultimate revelation that he wants us to have is in Jesus. So if we want to get a foundation in our life, what's he saying? Let's go to Jesus. And if we want to go to Jesus, let's just go to what Jesus said. Read the red. Pray into the red. Ask the Lord to show you what it is. And then whatever he shows you, obey it. And then when you have finished reading all the red words and praying into the red words and obeying the red words, do it again. Because there is a depth to the words of the Bible, because they are the words of the one who has no limit. He's the infinite one. And then you do that twice. You read the red, pray the red, obey the red. Then go back and just start in the New Testament, Matthew chapter 1, and go all the way through it. And what you'll find is this. He's speaking. He's speaking words of life, and he's speaking words of hope. He's challenging the lies of the enemy that reside inside of us, that are stealing, killing, and destroying us. And he wants to replace them with the truth of the way he designed us. He's going to speak into our identity. He's going to speak into his heart for you and I. He's going to challenge the ways that we tend to live that are away from him because they rob life from us. He longs for us to have life. He's going to speak. And as we do this, we read and we pray and we obey, we will find ourselves living more and more in the rest of the Almighty, no matter what the circumstance might be. Let us have grace, church, to lean in and seek to listen to everything that he has. For as the apostles of old said, only he has the words of life. Let's pray together. I mean, right there in your homes. Would you just give praise to God for the amazing facets of creation? I mean, just our ability to have selective hearing is really utterly amazing. The brain that he made us with blows our minds. Man, he is so awesome, so incredible. I know selective listening is necessary, but we cannot do it with God. Would you pray right now where you are for grace not to selectively listen to God? Could we trust him that whatever he wants to speak to us, whenever he wants to speak it, that is what is best? He determines the agenda. It's his voice and his time. And would you ask for fresh grace to hear him in the Bible? Would you ask the Holy Spirit to start quickening the words to you, the words that are in red? Let's start there. Don't just read them. Pray them. Meditate on them. Chew them. And whatever he tells you to do in that moment, do it. And let's obey them. And let's see his words become life. Father, we say as your people, we want to hear you. We confess that there are moments that we do not listen well. I confess, oh God, that far too often I selectively listen. And ultimately, that's a statement that I don't trust as I should. Forgive me. But God, I want to hear all that you have. I want to hear all that you want to say about everything you want to speak about. And I want to be in the middle of what you would have me to do. And I know that the people listening in want to be in the same place. And so we declare that your word is God-breathed. And it is profitable. And I'm asking, oh Lord, that we would engage it as profitable. Starting today. Starting this week. Unpack the words. Speak to us. And give us grace to hear everything. Not just what we want. Give us grace to hear everything. I ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, before we go. Go means we log out in these days. I get it. I want to tell you what our elders believe that we are to do in regards to the reopening of our church. That's a strange phrase because I don't feel like we ever really closed. We dispersed and we went into our homes and things like that. But you know what I mean, gathering back into our physical places. Even as I start to say this, I completely understand that there are a lot of emotions heightened right now. And a lot of real strong opinions of what we should do and what we shouldn't do. And I'm asking, please, would we be a people of grace more than we ever have right now? I mean, would we have grace not just for our church leadership, though I beg of that. Would we have grace for each other when we're interacting online and when we're on the phone and we're talking about these issues? Would we have grace for state leaders and national leaders, all of whom are trying to navigate something no one has ever lived through before? Man, it is a hard day to be a leader of anything. Many of you know that in your own lives, you know that in your families, you know it in your businesses. What we can do is be a people of grace. What I can tell you is that our elders have spent literally hours together praying over this matter. And I don't say that to mean that because we have spent hours praying that we're absolutely right. I can't guarantee we're absolutely right. I just ask you to extend grace to us in knowing that we are doing the best of our abilities to try to live in submission to first and foremost our God and what He might be having us to do, but also live in the spirit of the authority of the leadership of our land and our state leadership. And so I'm sure that whatever I outline here in a minute, for some, the first step is going to be too much. And for others, it's not going to be near enough. And I'm just asking for respect and honor and grace in the middle of this, and just know we're going to walk through this in the days to come. So currently, what we feel like we're supposed to do is have a partial reopening of our services starting in about 2 weeks. Thursday night, May 21, and Sunday morning, May 24th, we'll go back to our normal schedule. One service on Thursday night, two services at both campuses on Sunday, May 24th. But note, I said a partial reopening. Though we are not, there's no requirements placed on churches in the state of Texas by our governing authorities. We want to live in the spirit of what our land is trying to do. We want to walk wisely as we can under leadership, and so we are going to honor the 50% capacity rule and the social distancing rule that we're being asked to do. Now, the good news is we have really big spaces, which means we can accomplish that probably better than most people can accomplish that. But because of the limits created by capacity and also social distancing, we're going to need to know who's coming. So we're going to ask you to actually reserve spots at what service you're coming to, because we don't want to have too many people come to one service and have to turn people away. And we will turn people away if we are full. And full is going to be that we have distances between families that are sitting together in groups and things like that. Right now, our first step of partial reopening, we are not going to have children's ministry. We believe that will come in the days to come. I can't tell you when. I know if you have little kids, it's hard to bring your kids to service. And it might be that one spouse has to come to one service and then the other spouse come to another service. Maybe families and groups can help each other, and we can watch our kids while one couple goes to services. If you want to go, I'm sure we'll figure something out in doing that. And I know some of us, honestly, we're just not ready to step out and do this yet. And I want you to understand, I get that. And I don't want you to feel any guilt whatsoever. We still have our online campus. We had our online campus long before this ever happened, because we want everybody, wherever they are, whatever their situation, to have a chance to engage. And still, we're still going to be here at our online campus, but we feel like we're supposed to take this step. And this is just, hear me, this is just a first step. I can't make you promises about what the next step might be. We're going to ask the Father to help us discern what those might be. All the information on how to do this is going to be made available to you very soon. We're going to email it to you. It's going to be all over our social media and our website. It's going to give you all the instructions on how to make the reservation. And I promise you this, if for some reason we run out of space in our services, we'll add services. And we'll do all we can to accommodate everyone who feels like that they can take that step. So in advance, I want to tell you, I just want to tell you how proud I am of you. This church is full of amazing people doing amazing things through our city. And the spirit with which you are loving each other, that you're giving, the way you're serving is staggering. So staggering. And I know the spirit with which we handle these next phases and the way we handle the public, the way we handle friends and such, it is going to demonstrate the heart and the character of Christ. And I just want to thank you for that. You guys are incredible. So I'm going to close this up. I want you to know that we do have prayer partners available. And even when we do our partial reopening, we're not going to have our prayer partners right away. We're still going to have to do the phone calls. So you're going to have to leave the service, go to your car, make a phone call, and we'll pray with you for obvious reasons. But we're going to still be seeking. We have people all the time who say the Lord is speaking to them through these words. So we feel like someone had a flat tire this week and it's left you feeling deflated. It's like just one last thing in this season. We want you to call in and pray. Someone was diagnosed with thyroid issues and it has their whole body out of balance and you are feeling like really ill right now. Someone lost their job this week And the Lord wants to comfort, encourage, and strengthen your heart with a new, fresh vision for things ahead. Purple balloons are significant to someone. And the Lord, we feel like in this image, is releasing hope and peace in what seems to be an impossible situation. We want you to call in. Someone's been exposed to the virus and afraid they're going to get it. And the word for you is worship your way through it. It's going to dispel fear, we believe. But you can call in. And tiger lilies are significant to someone. I think tiger lily is a flower. It probably has nothing to do with the Netflix show about tigers and all that stuff that people are doing, which I hear is really weird. But anyway, we just want to feel like that tiger lily is significant to someone, and God is speaking of his confident love to you. I want you to call in. I think he has some words for you in that. So if any of these spoke to you, you just need prayer about anything. If you're at one of our services where we're live, call 325-704-5171. If you're at one of our replays, and we know some of you are having to watch that late at night when your kids are in bed, things like that, you text prayer to 325-766-7076. This slide will be up after the service ends. You call in, you text in, we'll get somebody to pray with you as quickly as we can. We want you to know we want to pray. So, right where you are, I want everybody to put their hands out in front of us. And let's receive the blessings of the Lord. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord turn his countenance towards you and give you peace. I ask, B'shem Yeshua HaMashiach, Sar Shalom, in the name of Jesus the Messiah, Prince of Peace. Amen.